Today's audio cast for Monday, September 11th, 2006 is sponsored by Aviation Consumer, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting for AvWeb's Audio News Service. It's become an all-too-familiar story for owners of Lycoming engines, and earlier this year, about 5,000 power plants in the 360 and 540 series were hit with a crankshaft service bulletin. There was a difference with this bulletin, however. In the past, Lycoming footed the bill for full repair and even kicked in cash for costs incurred by owners left without their airplanes while the cranks were replaced. In the latest round, Lycoming wants owners to pay a discounted price for the parts and cover all the labor and downtime costs themselves. A lawsuit was perhaps inevitable, and last week a California pilot launched a class action suit that will include all of the affected owners in that state. We attempted to reach Lycoming for comment last Friday, but our call wasn't returned. We hope to talk to Lycoming this week. In the meantime, AvWeb's Russ Niles talked with Robert Mills, a San Rafael attorney who's managing the class action lawsuit.
Well, in February of this year, Lycoming began to issue the service bulletin 569. And in that, they indicated that they were requiring owners of the affected engines to replace the crankshafts in those engines at the earliest of their timed overhaul or an outside date set in, I think it's 2009. And we were very disappointed by that, and a lot of owners contacted my firm and wanted to inquire if there was a legal action that could be taken. As you know, earlier, Lycoming had issued a number of prior service bulletins in connection with the same crankshaft problem. And in those earlier recalls, they were quite generous in their response. They provided replacement, and they paid some of the collateral costs associated with that. And that was very satisfactory to the owners of those affected engines for the most part. This latest recall is twice as big as all the others combined. And in this case, Lycoming has not agreed to the same kinds of terms before. My clients feel that what they've offered is inadequate and that they are legally obligated to provide more, and that's what this class action is about. We filed a class action in California last week on behalf of an owner, Richard Bristow, and on behalf of all of the other owners of affected crankshafts in California. We anticipate filing an additional action in Pennsylvania in the very near future that will include all of the owners of the affected engines in the United States.
Well, let's go back a minute. You own a Piper Mirage, and your engine was affected in one of the earlier recalls, and we can call it a recall because your engine was recalled by the factory, and you ended up getting a check from Lycoming.
I did, and Lycoming not only completely paid for the engine overhaul and replacement of the crankshaft, but they also paid some of the collateral costs that were associated with the engine being down. They paid some of our rent and some of the insurance and the collateral cost of aircraft owner of their aircraft being down.
Okay, so if we can use the term lucky enough to have been caught in one of the earlier recalls, then you have what amounts to a new engine with your costs covered. What is Lycoming asking of owners of these 5,000?
This time, unfortunately, Lycoming is only offering a basket of parts which they will provide to you for $2,000 that includes a crankshaft and some other related items, and that's pretty much it. They are making the owners of the affected aircraft bear all the collateral costs, and indeed they're making them bear all of the labor costs that are associated with these replacements. Those owners who purchased their airplanes recently are being required to essentially bear a very substantial cost of doing an early overhaul, and the AOPA estimated that to be something in the ballpark of $8,000 to $10,000. I've heard higher estimates depending upon labor costs, but that seems to us to be an inappropriate and unfair burden to place on the innocent owner of an aircraft that has a part that Lycoming believes is unsafe. It makes the aircraft unsafe.
Well, I understood that Lycoming wasn't necessarily believing that the parts were unsafe, that this was just an expression of the typical conservatism in aircraft maintenance and better safe than sorry.
That's an interesting point. They seem to sort of want it both ways. I mean, on the one hand, they've asked the FAA to issue an airworthiness directive, evidently on the grounds that the crankshafts are unsafe. Otherwise, why would they be recalled? Why would there be an airworthiness bulletin that would compel everyone, including the Part 91 owners, to replace the crankshafts? On the other hand, they've maintained an inconsistent position by claiming that there's nothing wrong with these crankshafts. And obviously, those two positions are fundamentally incompatible with each other, and it looks like that they're trying to compel the FAA to issue an AD so that they can get them all replaced for liability purposes, and if there was nothing wrong with them, they wouldn't be doing that.
There have been earlier suits, which I believe you refer to, not by name, but sort of obliquely in your complaint, in which it's revealed, allegedly, that Lycoming's quality control programs were inadequate, and that's why all these crankshafts are kind of coming under the umbrella.
There has been other litigation involving Lycoming crankshafts, and there was, as you know, a very large lawsuit in Texas in which Lycoming sought to enforce its indemnification provisions against Interstate, which is the firm that made the crankshafts in question, and Interstate vigorously asserted that the problem was not the crankshaft, the problem was with Lycoming, and in that case, I'm told that the Interstate won a judgment against Lycoming for close to $100 million, and that Lycoming lost its indemnification action against Interstate, and that lawsuit raises a lot of disturbing
questions. We should also note that Lycoming is appealing that, though.
Lycoming is appealing that. It's not a final judgment. They may prevail in that appeal. In any event, in the meantime, the nature of those allegations, even if untrue, has cast a shadow over Lycoming engines, and particularly the ones that are affected, and is potentially affecting resale values, and that's a matter of great concern to my clients and to anybody that owns an airplane with a Lycoming engine. And these are issues that we are going to have to address in this case.
So what's going to happen to the average Lycoming owner as this moves forward?
The way class actions work is that a person comes forward and asserts claims on behalf of themselves and all others similarly situated. Then there's a period of time in which the parties address the class issues, and then there's a class motion made. And if the court decides that there are common issues, and that the common issues of fact and law predominate, the court will certify the class, and at which point all of the potential victims, all the people covered by the litigation, are given notice. And they're given the opportunity at that point to opt out of the class if they don't choose to be represented by the class representative and the class counsel that are appointed by the court. And so they can do that by simply sending in a postcard in which they say to the court, I want out, I want to opt out. And if they do that, they're not going to be affected by the case either way. In other words, if the case is successful and money is achieved or settlement terms, they will not participate in that. And if the case is lost, they will not be prejudiced. They're free then to file their own lawsuit. As long as they do so within the statute of limitations, they can file their own claim. If you do nothing, if the owner that's affected, that receives this notice of the class, does nothing, then they will automatically be represented by the class representative and by the class counsel appointed by the court, and the class representative and class counsel will prosecute the claims of those aircraft owners involving these crankshafts to whatever outcome is achieved, and they will automatically participate in any benefit that's achieved by that.
Any idea how long it's going to take before any sort of settlement is achieved in this?
Well, obviously, in litigation like this, it's a very uncertain prospect to try to forecast how long it's going to take. Typically, these cases, there's a window at the outset that they can be settled, and if they're not settled at that in a really early stage, they tend to go to the point of class certification, and then there's another window there, and then if that doesn't work, usually goes to trial. But, you know, it's possible they can be resolved at any time. But it's hard to say. The median in this office has been about 2 years, but there are cases that have settled right away and there are cases that have dragged on for much longer. Most of it will depend upon the approach that Lycoming takes, is whether they want a resolution of it immediately negotiated or whether they want to litigate the issues and see what happens. And that'll be a choice that they will make.
San Rafael, California attorney Robert Mills speaking about a class action lawsuit against Lycoming. Online right now at afweb.com. It's been 5 years to the day since the world changed forever, and the Experimental Aircraft Association has looked back at the effect 9/11 had on general aviation and says it could have been a whole lot worse. Also, the first fully certified Very Light jet comes from Independence, Kansas, and not Albuquerque, as Cessna celebrates the FAA stamp of approval on its Mustang. We'll also have a look at a campaign by a Colorado senator to ban a certain type of airplane from U.S. airspace and explain how an Arizona skydiving instructor managed to make 640 jumps in one day. There's also a bizarre tale of an airborne elopement that went terribly wrong and the arrest of a would-be groom 24 years later. All this and more online right now at avweb.com. To comment on today's audiocast, just drop an email to audionews@avweb.com. Today's report was sponsored by Aviation Consumer, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners. Look for AvWeb's next audiocast on Friday, September 15th. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting. Thanks for listening.